Well, first of all, thank you all for coming. This is the Day of Atonement 2017. And so let's lay a foundation here. We're going to bring in Leviticus 23 first. Leviticus 23, verses 1 and 2. Leviticus 23, 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts." So these convocations are holy, they are God's feast, and they are moeds in a sense. It's appointments. That means appointments. You know, we have an appointment with God, don't we? Just like you make an appointment to go to the doctor. Well, we have an appointment here with God. Now, as today, guess what? We have some more appointments here later in the week, don't we? We're going to be starting the Feast of Tabernacles. So we have an appointment there to be with God. So wherever you're going, have a good time, enjoy it. Now the Day of Atonement pictures several things. It portrays the binding and removal of Satan the devil for 1,000 years so that mankind at last may be made one with God. So let's, let's go back to Leviticus 23 before we go anywhere else. I didn't read the part about the Day of Atonement here. We'll pick that up in 26, verse 26. Getting ahead of myself here. Okay. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also on the 10th day of this 7th month shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls," that's talking about fasting, "and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Actually, we don't make a fire. We are the offering, aren't we? We are the sacrifice that's being offered here in a sense. Of course, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, but we are sacrificing ourselves to live God's way of life and so on. Verse 28, "And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make for you..." "And you shall do..." Verse 28, "And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted of soul," meaning fasting, "on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people." Well, we don't want to be cut off, so that's why we're fasting. "And any person who does any work on the same day, that person I will destroy." Pretty strong language, isn't it? "From among his people." Verse 31, "You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever." Notice forever. "Throughout your generation, in all your dwellings." Verse 32, "It shall be to you a Sabbath, a solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls," again fasting, "on the 9th day of the month, at evening, from the evening to evening." So here's how we know how long a Sabbath is. "From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath." Okay, now, this is the Old Testament. Now let's go to the New Testament for a scripture. Again, talking about thinking about putting Satan away. So Revelation 20, 1 to 3. Revelation 20, 1 to 3. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon," that serpent of old, "who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." Okay, so we see Satan's fate and so on, what's going to happen there. But then he's going to be released for after 1,000 years. So that's we won't be too happy about that when that happens. But anyway, for the time being, during the millennium, he will be put away. And also, the Day of Atonement pictures Jesus as our high priest. So there's other meanings, but those are just a couple there. So I got a question now. What should a New Testament Christian keep? Why should a New Testament Christian keep the Day of Atonement? So why? Why are we here? That kind of thing. We've read the passages of Scripture in the Old Testament that commands us to keep the Day of Atonement. That's in Leviticus. And these passages say that the Day of Atonement is a statute forever. Not forever. So, you know, we can think throughout the millennium we will be keeping this day as a memorial, you know, of Christ and so on, and the, representing the high priest and that kind of thing. And then also in the New Testament then, let's notice one of the Scripture in Acts 27:9, which talks about Paul here. So Acts 27:9. Something that he did. Notice it says, "Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already over, Paul advised them." Now, this word fast, if you look in your center index there, there might be a little note there that will tell you what that means. It says, the word fast in this verse refers to the Day of Atonement. It was called the fast because this was a day of fasting, going without food and water. The Apostle Luke wrote the book of Acts around 61 AD, almost 30 years after Jesus' crucifixion, and refers to the Day of Atonement by calling it the fast. So sometimes it seems like there's code words in the Bible, isn't it? So we see signs, well, we need to look at. Well, what does that mean? You look to center index, and it might be as simple as that. It'll tell you right there. It's obvious by this verse that the Apostle Paul kept the Day of Atonement. There are other scriptures in the New Testament that indicate that the apostles and early New Testament church kept the Sabbath and God's seven annual Sabbath festivals. Now, so here's another question. What should a New Testament Christian do on the Day of Atonement? Nothing. Right? Nothing. Okay? From the scriptures that we just read there in Acts, we're to fast, but fast is doing nothing. You know, we don't eat, do we? In Leviticus 23:27, it says, "You shall afflict your souls." So we're commanded to fast. You know, the word afflict means to fast. It means to abase yourself, humble yourself, weaken yourself. So when we fast physically, we are weakened, we're hungry. Spiritually, it's humbling. So it makes us stronger. Sort of an adverse effect here, isn't it? Physically, if we don't eat, we die. It's that simple, isn't it? We just dwindle down to nothing and we die. But spiritually, it draws us closer to God. So again, what should a Christian do on the Day of Atonement? The answer is nothing. Jesus did it all. That's one reason why I had the song that we sang there. Jesus did it all. So let's see some of the things that Jesus does. Now, this is where your handout comes out. Let's just notice how many different hats that Jesus wears here. How many different jobs and things that he does here. And we're not going to read all of this. We're just going to read maybe one scripture or so in each heading here. But Jesus is your Savior. John 3:16, we're familiar with that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then drop down to the third one there, Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So Jesus is our Savior. He is also the author of our salvation. This is the next heading, Hebrews 5:9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. All right, let's drop down to the heading Lord. Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth, and to those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All right, let's drop down to the shepherd part here now. Psalm 23 comes to mind, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And John 10:11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The next heading is, Jesus is your love and joy. John 15:9-13. As the Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life, to lay down one's life for his friends. These things I command you, that you love one another. All right, let's drop down to peace. Ephesians 2:13-14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. All right, let's go to forgiveness. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you should also do. So Christ is your forgiveness. He's your righteousness. The second one here, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So Jesus is our redemption. He's our sanctification. He's our liberty. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. All right, let's go on to the next page here. Jesus is your Redeemer. Titus 2:11-14. Let's start reading in verse 13 here. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. All right, fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we can fellowship with Jesus and God anytime, can't we? All we need to do is get on our knees, pray, or get your Bible out and start reading. All right, he's our example. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He's our friend. John 15:12-16, let's start in verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. All right, he's also our brother here, Matthew 12:50 here. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. All right, he's our guardian, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. He also provides security and protection to us. Let's drop down to John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the ones who comes to me I will by no means cast out. He's our sufficiency, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, talking about Paul here, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's our fulfillment, John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, Christ is talking about spiritual, but, you know, even physically, he will provide us our jobs and food and so on. So we need to pray and have faith that that'll happen. But anyway, here spiritually, there, he's going to take care of our hunger and our thirst. All right, the Word. Drop down to Revelation 19:13 here. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Okay, let's go to King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 17:14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, and he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. So that's going to be us, isn't it? We're going to be called chosen and faithful because we remain faithful to God and to Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. All right, down into the mediator. Jesus is your mediator. It's 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. All right, he's also our apostle and high priest, Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's a very important element there. You know, we can't. You remember how the curtain in the temple was torn when Christ was crucified and so on? Well, we have access to the Father there. All right, Jesus also, your Lord of the Sabbath here, Mark 2:27-28. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. He's our Master, Luke 8:24. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. They were on a boat, remember, and there was rough seas and everything. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was calm. So he's even the master of the seas and so on. All right, he is the Messiah, the Christ. Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, rock and deliverer. Let's read the Old Testament part here, 2 Samuel 22:2-3. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my redeemer, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. Okay, likeness. So Jesus is your likeness. In other words, we're going to look like Him, aren't we? So Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Jesus is our lawgiver. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So obviously Jesus is going to be a king. He's going to be ruling with law. And he has subjects, obviously. And he also has the land, which will be the earth when he returns and sets up the kingdom of God on earth. All right, he's our judge. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. All right, he's our example in prayer. Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now we won't go into it, but the Lord's Prayer, you know, the disciples asked him, said, Lord, teach us to pray. So he went into the example of our Father who art in heaven, how to say it, how, it's a model prayer. You know, not that we're to say those exact words, but we use that as a model prayer. And of course he also is telling other things, how you should go into a closet and pray and that kind of thing. So you can read that part later. Okay. Jesus is our healer. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded, talking about Jesus Christ, when he was beaten, crucified, and so on. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All right, God and Creator. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. All right, and this is an interesting one here. The last one here. Everything or whatever. Now notice this now, John 16:23-24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Okay, so before closing now, one other element that's important in our salvation, that's grace. So let's turn over to Ephesians 2 and we'll read 8-10. Grace is a very important element, so we don't want to leave that one out. You know, it's interesting that in the New Testament there's no examples of where Jesus actually talked about grace, but it does say that grace is upon him. So, all right, now Ephesians. Most people just want to quote Ephesians 2:8, but I want to read the other two verses here. So Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So definitely it's a good gift. You know, it comes through Jesus Christ, doesn't it? And then verse 9 says, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship. In other words, Jesus Christ is working on each and every one of us. He wants to make us special, doesn't he? So we can fit into the kingdom and do his works and so on. But anyway, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So anyway, works are important. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's still grace in how we're saved and so on. So is salvation, through salvation here, our eternal life is a gift from God. So in closing here, it's because Jesus Christ did it all that we can have salvation. And again, so why is New Testament, why do we do nothing on this day? Because Jesus did it for us.